Welcome to the latest episode of Take Note. This is Ted, and I am here with Adam. Hello, Adam.
Ted, how are you doing?
It's the holiday season. I'm doing pretty great. I love the holidays. The work schedule is thrown off by all manner of gingerbread building parties and holiday lunches and who knows what else. There's no structure. It's total chaos. It's quite enjoyable. How are you?
Well, I'm great. The holiday structure is fine. Everything's good. I'm doing great.
Wait, you work for yourself, so basically the entire year is a nonstop holiday, right?
Sure.
Am I reading that correctly?
Absolutely. Nonstop holiday. Check my email a lot more than I ever used to. but I will say this. I wasn't planning to talk about this, but I have found a good trick to falling asleep when you've got too many things rustling around in your mind. I now listen to the shipping forecast, the BBC shipping forecast.
Wow.
Every night to go to sleep, and it puts me to bed every
that
single night.
Special. That is a special piece of advice.
Since we are really on
this impromptu topic, one of my favorite things, I've had, it doesn't matter if I work for myself or work for a large nonprofit organization, I still have things racing through my head when I try to fall asleep. I listen to the In Our Time podcast by Melvin Bragg, also from the BBC, incidentally. There must be something about the mellifluous British accent that sends us off into dreamland. But
all right, that one has put me to bed too, but not. I haven't intended to fall asleep to that. So I think we've talked before, Start the Week is the best. Got to listen to Start the Week. In Our Time, I haven't been able to do. The shipping forecast, though, is like a poem or a meditation in which you know all the words, but they don't make any sense. it's a weather forecast for people on ships in the seas outside the United Kingdom. And they say occasionally a lot, but the words don't really make a lot of sense. They say gales, they say fair, good, but just like that, like fair and good mean the same thing, right? Yeah. Next to each other. It's fantastic.
Amazing. That's amazing. So we do start every episode with a little back and forth, recounting what we've written down in our journals. I haven't written much this week, but you have. So, Adam, what do you got?
Well, yeah, Ted, I was, you know, it's, you say you haven't written much. Obviously, before the show, I told you that I have the best what do you got, the best what do you got of the year, and so you shouldn't even try this week.
It's all built. You actually wrote it in February, but we've been saving it for this near the end of the year episode.
That's right. So I wrote, saw an empty tub of cat litter on the side of the highway. And then, before I wrote that down, when I actually saw the cat litter tub, I was so excited that I set myself a reminder to write it down. So I have a screenshot of Siri saying, okay, I added tub of cat litter on the side of the highway to your reminders. It's due in 15 minutes. And when that reminder went off, I wrote down, saw an empty tub of cat litter on the side of the highway, created a reminder so I wouldn't forget to jot it down.
That's a magical tale.
Yep.
I actually, your story about putting it in your phone reminded me that I did take a note in my phone. I feel like, and now that I think about it, it's not so much that I haven't wanted to take notes, but I've had one of those weeks where many things have thwarted the right notebook being in my pocket at the right time. Like, I think my daughter borrowed it to do some drawing at one point, and then instead of getting it back from her, my wife took it and put it in the car, and then my notebook was in the car half the week.
Then your son sewed your pockets shut so you couldn't get your hand in there.
And then he ran around me with a rope and tied my legs together, so when I tried to chase after him, I fell right over. but I did take one note in my phone that I would have otherwise, were it not for this Buster Keaton of a week that I experienced, We're building a new house, so we go and visit with the kids pretty frequently. We live right nearby the news site, and there was a lot of sawdust and just kind of mess around. And my daughter, 6-year-old daughter, said, "Oh, how I do want to sweep up." That was charming. So
Reading Little House on the Prairie to her yet?
No, I haven't even gotten there.
Oh, you should. She's going to love it.
I'm sure she will. She's a voracious reader. She reads, I'm sure, quite faster than I do at this point.
Well, Ted.
It takes me weeks to read A Babysitter's Club, and she can get through one of those things in 2 days. All right. Should we hit our big, fancy topic for this week?
Ranking the top Babysitter's Club books?
Well, everybody knows that number 37 is the best, so it's almost not even worth discussing.
No, you're right, it's not.
What I am talking about, of course, is nothing has been this highly anticipated since our award-winning summer beverage series. This is the Take Note Holiday Giving Guide episode.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
I'm a question mark.
And, you know, some podcasts out there, for example, the folks at Erasable posted today that they are recording their holiday gift guide today as well. Some people may have had it planned out for a while.
Listen to this one first, folks, and then after you're not going to need any more after this one.
Yeah,
this one will be is comprehensive too strong a word?
Yes.
What's that? What's that other word?
Incomprehensible?
That's the one. Your incomprehensible guide to holiday giving 2018.
Some podcasts may have planned their holiday gift guide episode for some time. Ours was created, the idea was created a few hours ago when I told my wife that I wasn't sure if we were going to record tonight because I don't know what we could possibly talk about. And my wife, who is the secret producer of the show, kind of, but really doesn't like to be referred to even this much during the show, she helped put together an idea for a holiday gift guide.
A fantastic little structure for us to wax on.
Yes.
Before we wax off.
We are going to...
waxing on again.
We're going to each recommend a pencil, a pen, a paper product... A book, which is also a paper product, but a book presumably with words written in it already, and something extravagant.
Mm-hmm.
And we have not talked about what our choices are. I think if we match, we should end the episode immediately without going on from there. What do you say?
Deal.
Okay.
The stakes are high.
That's right.
Ted. Okay, so here's my note, and this just kind of comes from... recent experience, I guess, in the workplace, kind of trying to get people excited about better stationery. But to me, the idea of giving stationery stuff as a gift is interesting because, I think the prevailing sentiment among people afflicted, such as us, is that we really do like to go out and buy exactly what we see and like and want to try out. And, maybe haven't tried or, this edition or that really appeals to us, whereas another, a previous version might not. Just that whole discerning eye thing. And so to me, giving a gift to somebody has a little bit of a different implication than just what I like the most or my favorite thing.
I agree.
So that was kind of the approach I took.
Me
that it matters.
So,
we'll get into it.
No, so for example, I'm not going to go into my paper selections before, but I love Field Notes, but part of what I love about Field Notes is the fact that I've been using Field Notes and I've had Field Notes in my pocket for 6 or 7 years without missing a day, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the best gift for me to give somebody.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
We're already on the same page and we only came up with this idea an hour ago.
That's right.
All right, let's do it. You go first. What's your pencil?
Okay, so my pencil, The one that I was thinking, but I did not end up on, is the Camel Pencil HB, which is my favorite pencil. It's got a ferrule-less, and it's got an eraser that you almost can't even tell is an eraser. But I don't know where you buy it right now. The one that I like is the non-pastel. CW Pencil only has pastels in stock. So that would be my first choice, because that is a pencil that I think anyone picks up and just goes, I love this. But instead, I'm going to go with the CW Pencil Caran d'Ache Scots Pine, which has a red cap on the end but not a eraser, and a little cross on it that's nice. And just all of those Caran d'Ache pencils feel great in your hand.
And so your approach is just to wow them with the finest pencil you can find.
That's right. What's your approach?
My approach is to go stick to the basics, which is just a straight-up Blackwing 602, which is not really the basics, but in the realm of pencils, I feel like that's a real – that's the tried and true. And I think – so I did a White Elephant at work, and I put together a little stationery package. And nice. The person who picked mine saw – It was actually a Blackwing, a single of the LP version that they released recently, which is fairly similar to a 602. And she was just taken by the eraser. And she said, it even has this cool special eraser. And I realized that that I have almost glossed over how cool that eraser is if you've never sat and looked at one before, which made me think as I was thinking about, you know, giving it as a gift, that the Blackwing 602, it's really a unique pencil if you're not someone who sits around thinking about pencils. And it is, it's one of those things that could really get someone into it and get them excited about it without maybe, you know, bringing kind of the narrative of one of the maybe more specific limited releases. It's got a nice, universally enjoyable core to it. But then my caveat was that I would also want to give them one of the Coombe erasers. I mean, sorry, sharpeners.
Yep.
Because I think one of the most satisfying things about the Blackwings is sharpening them and doing the two-point sharpener, that whole bit. That's an important part of it to me. So I would make sure that whoever I was giving the pencil to would also have a nice sharpener so that they'd have the complete experience.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think that's the better choice, and you won the pencil selection. As a quick tangent on the pencils, on the Erasable Podcast Facebook group, where people actually know about pencils and things, whereas we just blather on. There were people buying Blackwing Volume 211s at $30 for a single pencil, and. Okay. I've got a couple of those, and so through the Erasable group, we raised $100 for the Valentino Acek Deng Foundation through one very generous donor, and I sent her my two Blackwing 211 pencils.
Wow!
Yeah,
very cool.
It was great.
Well, that's awesome.
Yep.
Nice job. And that's the school.
That's the wood grain. Oh yes, Valentino. Right, that is the foundation that's building secondary schools for women in the southern Sudan. Maybe secondary schools for men and women, but it is the only secondary school for women in the southern Sudan at all. So one of the things I really like about that group is not just how far the U.S. dollar can go in Africa, but also they took something. There was total vacuum. There's no opportunity for education for women there, and they created it. And I think they're building their second school now in a new location.
Very cool.
We'll add a link in the show notes, and if you make a donation to the Valentino Acek Deng Foundation, let me know. I have no more 211s to send you, but I will send things to people who make donations to that group.
I have a 211 that I'll send them if they make a $50 donation.
Wow. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Great.
It's a little sharpened, but yeah. You gave it to me.
That's right.
Yeah, totally. Okay. First come, first serve on that offer.
Crazy tangent. All right.
Okay, so now let's hit the pen category.
Why don't you go first on the pen?
I'll go first. Okay. So here's my pen. I would give someone the Oto Horizon pen, which is a $10 Oto. They make the Oto graphic liner that gets talked about a lot in the pen addict circles. But this is the Horizon. It's metal. It's got a cool little rounded, I don't know, the tip of the pen has a little rounded thing, so it's got kind of a mid-century modern vibe, and I think it's hexagonal, and it's a really satisfying retractable pen, and it's affordable. It's $10. It feels like a really high-quality pen. I would also give them a Pilot refill, different from the refill it comes with. But it's just a great... It's an elevated pen experience, but it's not so expensive that someone who didn't ask for it would feel guilty to either not use it that much or to lose it. And it comes in a couple cool colors, like white with orange writing, and I think neon yellow and a bright neon green, and then bright yellow.
Yeah, I don't know if I know that pen, so I'll check that one out as well. I chose the Lamy Safari. Mostly because that is the pen of mine that is most stolen by my wife, and her joy for that pen, her love of that pen.
Joy for that pen is to steal it from you.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a simple pen. I think people call it a great starter pen. It is.
Yep.
It doesn't make me want any other pen. It makes me just want that pen. I love using it every time I use it. So that is my pen choice.
Great call. The I gave one of those as a gift just randomly to a friend, and it was the something like the petroleum color or some sort of one of the newer colors. It was kind of a black with some shimmer and sheen to it. That one was really cool.
Nice.
He loved it.
My wife's looking for the white or the yellow. It's on her Christmas list.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Good choice. I'll give you that round. You were a little more aspirational going into the fountain pens. All right, paper. Which I think we mean notebooks or, I don't know, even some unconventional paper product. But what do you got there, Adam?
I'm doing the Emilio Braga Cloud Print Notebook. They come in neon colors. The sides of the paper are painted yellow. At least mine is painted yellow. And I've got to admit, I have not used mine yet. I just received mine as a gift, and it couldn't have made me happier. And I think it's just such a beautiful notebook to give. Yeah, so that is my pick.
That's
for
great.
The paper.
That sounds awesome. I see. Again, this is almost the same dynamic that we experienced with the pencils, where you went with the real beautiful object that someone's just going to enjoy the moment they lay eyes on it. I went with a Leuchtturm 1901 notebook, and my thinking there is actually quite similar. I think the Leuchtturms are a notebook that someone who's not necessarily into notebooks independently is going to be scared of. Looks like a Moleskine. Used a Moleskine, but it's elevated. It has higher quality paper. It's built better, and the paper's thicker, and they'll have more. So it's two of paper. You might with this thing and want a field note, a ruler on the paper, narrative behind it. But I'm gonna show you that there's a better way, and it's gonna be comfortable for you. But then you're gonna realize there's a lot. So that's my choice from the gifting side, and it's a conservative choice. It's not a bold gift choice, but I think I get a little nervous about these things. I get nervous that I will kind of overpush the stationary thing and kind of turn someone off.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. I guess I think that the Leutch term maybe looks so much like the Moleskine. And, you know, the Leutch term and the Moleskine, they all kind of have this, I'm going to call it a Fight Club aesthetic. This kind of male, plain, no logo kind of, although they might have a logo, which, you know, I used to like. I haven't held the Leutch term, so I don't know, I don't have an opinion about it. But that's kind of the vibe that I get from it, although I was coveting one. I think we talked about it last week. I was coveting one, but I found a Roll-Bon before I could go purchase the Leutch term. I have a question, which I should probably know the answer to. Are all Leutch terms Leutch term 901? Or is 1901? Or is that a model to the Leutch term make?
I have no idea.
Okay, great. Good deal. This is,
That's what makes this gifting guide so special.
Yeah, guys, I would, listeners, I'd switch over to that erasable one right now.
I'm going to give you this round in a landslide for your creative and no doubt beautiful choice over my
mine is certainly Portuguese and yours is certainly German, although maybe it's not. Who knows?
mine is clutched in the paws of a sweaty meatloaf. With Tyler Durden beating on him, and yours is, I don't know, Isabella Rossellini striding down the streets of Milan, writing poetry in it. This round to you.
Thank you. So the next one we've got is kind of the real wild card, where we're just going to recommend a book, and we don't know what our rules are for that. So
let there be none.
Yes.
Let there be no rules.
You went first last time, right?
You went first in the paper round.
Great. So you go first in the book round.
Here's
I'm
my
drinking my whiskey out of a coffee mug, Ted. Go right ahead.
That was going to be my extravagant gift, a coffee mug and a bottle of cheap whiskey. You anticipated me on that one. Okay, my book suggestion or recommended gift is Binti. But it's a trilogy. There's three books. It's the Binti trilogy. The first one's called Binti by the author Nnedi Okorafor. I have read the first book of the three, and they're three novellas, so they're not long. They have fun covers, and they are science fiction with a strong literary bent. So really well written science fiction, concise storytelling, beautiful imagery, just really really interesting components. Great wow. Stuff. You can give it to somebody and they can, you know, most people can probably read it in a weekend, all three of them even, and they're just really rich and really great. And I think they're award winning. This is not some under the radar choice, but I started the second one. It's one of those books you just are excited to get back to, and it's just very atmospheric and you just really get into it. So that is my recommendation, the Binti trilogy by Nnedi Okorafor. Okorafor with an O.
And is the Binti trilogy translated?
No. Believe so.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
Huh. That's great. I haven't heard of that. That sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So I struggled with this a little bit, because I've got that Jeff Tweedy memoir in my head. We talked about that a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it, and I recommend it strongly. But I ended up on the Stories of John Cheever, which is just one of my all-time favorite books. It's that big, I think it's orange, maybe it's red, paperback of all the stories. Excuse me. And the thing about that book is that when I am stressed, I can open that book up and kind of enter it, read one story, and I feel like I'm in a different world. or I'm laying in a pool, or but everything else is going away, and it actually relieves my stress. And so The Collected Stories of John Cheever.
That's great.
It actually, like, not necessarily a great gift book at all, but I love it.
Well, books are an interesting gift. Giving a book that you think might, like, giving a book as a gift that's not very good,
mm-hmm.
is tough. So we want to give books that we know are great.
Right.
Which is not that easy a thing to find or give or do.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't normally go well.
Yeah.
And because also then if you reach out, say, hey, did you read that book that I gave? Like, a lot of times we receive books.
You can't ask that. No, you can't.
The best it ever went for me is I gave a buddy of mine, well, my friend Kugler, you know him, no one else listening to the show does. I gave him a copy of The Savage Detectives by Roberto Bolaño, and Dan is like a tough critic, you know, Dan doesn't like everything, and he loved this book, and it was a gift for me that he loved the book as much, if not more, than it was a gift for him, you know?
Yeah. Awesome.
So, but John Cheever and Roberto Bolaño.
Can I make one request this holiday season? Don't ever give me a Roberto Bolaño book, please.
Oh, no. Have you not read The Savage Detectives? I know you haven't read The Savage Detectives because...
I think I started it.
Okay. All right.
If you give that book to me, you ain't getting any gifts of me reading all the way through it back. I can give you that ahead of time.
That's not the really long one. Just 2666 is the really long one. And yeah. I never finished that one. It's pretty good until the 700-page chapter about all the rapes on the Mexican border. Gets a little...
Good boy.
Yeah.
Happy holidays, everybody.
This is our holiday show.
Okay. I'd say this final one's even more of a wild card category than our previous wild card category. This is our extravagant gift. And your previous choices have been... quite extravagant within certain constraints, so I'm pretty much ready for a Fabergé egg out of you in this category. But what do you got for the extravagant gift?
Mine is the Fabergé egg of leather pad folios. I received the Bellroy work folio about 6 months ago. I love it. It has made me obsessed with the Bellroy brand.
I have a Bellroy wallet that I like.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a solid wallet.
Yeah, yeah. I love sticking my stuff in there. It feels great carrying it. Like when people, you know, I feel professional in it. And everything, you know, their whole website is filled with these videos showing everything fitting into its right place. And it does. And that's what I really like about that. So it is, it's more than I would spend on something like that. But it's great to receive as a gift.
Is it a soft, supple leather?
It is a soft, supple leather. I have an issue with leather products, all leather products, where I know it's supposed to wear, and that's part of the charm. And it bothers me. I feel like it's wearing too much, and yeah. I have a hard time just enjoying the leather, but it's a nice product, and I just have to get over it.
You just spray it down with 2 inches thick of some kind of weird sealant or something. I'm sure that would
right. Yes, I could ruin it. For all time. I like just. I'm filled with worry that maybe something wrong. I feel really that there's something. God, I've been gripping it too much in the same one place. It's gonna leave a. Yeah, I'm going to ruin this night.
Okay. I did two. I cheated a little bit. I picked two.
Okay.
My first one is the PlayStation 4 game Red Dead Redemption.
Okay.
And the reason I came as a gift, and this one obviously, hey, maybe you don't have PlayStation 4. But this is a game that I have personally witnessed my wife enjoy.
Okay, all right.
Which to me suggests that it is simply a video. The New York Times column to this similar effect. It is a video game that is so compelling and beautiful and intriguing and satisfying that it transcends the medium into a realm in which people who might not typically play video games could find it enjoyable and satisfying. It's a cool experience. And I think the first Red Dead Redemption game, or Red whatever it was called, it's hard to, whatever. The previous iteration was similar, and the one that they just put out is about 15 times better. The writing is actually intelligible. They realized they were going to make $1 billion, so they probably just hired a couple actual writers to write decent dialogue, which puts it into another stratosphere. When a game as big and as rich and detailed as this has decent writing, then it's like, wow, okay. So that's my kind of hedging extravagant gift. My other one is a Topo bag. Topo Designs is a Colorado company that makes kind of rugged, cool looking, solid colors, really strong construction on their bags and things. But I recently got the Mountain briefcase as a gift. You can carry it like a briefcase. It kind of looks like a backpack, except they sort of shrunk it down. But you can carry it with one hand, but it's also got all these straps built into it. So you can carry it like a messenger bag, or you can carry it like a backpack even, or you can do some kind of hybrid in between. But fundamentally, it looks like a briefcase that you can take to work with a little bit of dignity.
I need one of those.
Yeah, well, there you go. Topo, T-O-P-O. You play this podcast for your lovely wife, and she'll get on that. I'd be curious to see if your padfolio fit into the bag. That'd probably be a big question mark. But it's a great. It's not even extravagant. It's a normal price tag for a really well constructed bag. But it's another level up in the gift giving stratosphere. But it's amazing. It truly feels like it might last 30 years.
Nice.
And it's just very satisfying. I enjoy using it every day. So that is my recommendation for your extravagant gift if you're not in the PlayStation 4.
Well, listen, which mindset. Color of Redemption? No. Which color of this bag do you have? Because, you know, we can't, you know, bump into each other carrying the same color.
That would be bag. So
I'm going to be in Houston in awkward. October.
Or it could be some kind of Reservoir Dogs vibe where we walk up in slow motion all carrying the same bag and people are like, oh.
That's right.
What is going on here? Something is happening.
We'll bring those skinny ties back.
Let's do this again next week, Adam.
Sounds great, Ted. Happy holidays.
Bye. Same to you. Check us out on our website, takenote.space. Check us out on Twitter at takenotepod. And happy holidays as well.
Au revoir.